Today's podcast is sponsored by two of our very own Retromaniacs from the Retro Asylum community, Stots31 and Mr. Sid. Thank you very much, guys. We really appreciate your generous donations.
Ho, ho, ho! Hello everyone and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 29 and I'm your host, Andy Godoy. Now, let's quickly tell you what today's all about. Today is our Christmas special, so yeah, get out your Christmas jumpers, drink some wine, pull some crackers or whatever it is you do on Christmas Day, eat some food while you're sort of like listening to this show, why not? Now, today's show, I'll tell you what we've got planned. First things first, I'll tell you a little bit about how you can win the N64 competition. Then I'll tell you a little bit about what we've actually got on today's show. And yeah, that's pretty much it, really. So yeah, right, first things first, order of business. How do you win this N64? Now, you've got a few more weeks to win this N64 that is kindly donated by Dean Swain, our co-host. He basically was kind enough to give us this N64 with loads of games. And I will post a picture of this N64 on the forum, and you can win this in a number of different ways. Now, the first way is nice and easy. If you haven't already, why not leave us an iTunes review? That's the first way you can do that. And if you've left us an iTunes review already, hey, that means you've actually already entered into the competition. The second way is, like us on Facebook. It's that simple. Now, if you've done that already, that means you've already entered into the competition already. Now, the third way, it's a little bit more tricky, but a little bit more fun. Now, all you have to do once I've given the spiel is guess the three gaming tracks I'll be playing once I mention it, and email me the answer at andy@retroasylum.com, and that's another chance of winning the N64. Now, the winner will be announced on episode 30, which is probably the first podcast of 2013. So yeah, guys, you can do all three ways, so that way you've got three chances of winning the N64. Alright, let's get on with the Christmas show. Now, before I tell you a little bit about what my story is all about, let me tell you exactly what is going to happen in today's episode. Now, today's episode is not just me rambling on. It's basically all five of the Retro Asylum hosts, each of us telling you our own retro gaming stories and memories from the past. And you'll basically find that a lot of these stories and memories are very different, but also similar at the same time. And what we're trying to do, guys, is just trying to sort of relate to you guys so you guys can relate to us and we have that bonding experience. Anyway, so that's the show plan. So I'm going to go first. I'm going to tell you my retro gaming memories and so on. And then the other guys will go. And then that's pretty much it. So, yeah, to be honest with you, it would have been nice if all of us had been in the same room to record this. But it's December, it's coming up to Christmas, and it is kind of tough, you know, to actually find the time to do this. So yeah, let's begin with my story. Right, so back in the good old days when I was a little kid, there was only four channels: BBC One, BBC Two, ITV, and Channel 4. And Christmas was actually a really special time of the year because that's when you got all the good movies, you know, that's when you got all the best sort of new releases. It was way before you had all these hundreds of channels and Sky and cable and the internet where you could watch these things. So a lot of the time you're watching these films for the first time, or you're actually watching reruns of some of your favorite Christmas movies. Now, I'm not really here to talk about, you know, Christmas movies and so on, but it's about Christmas. Now, I've talked about my Spectrum in the past, I've talked about Mega Drive, Super Nintendo, but one of the machines I haven't really talked about a lot is the Sega Master System. And let me tell you about that. I must have been about, I don't know, about 10 years old when I got my Sega Master System. And I had seen one before. My nephew had a Sega Master System, so I had experienced that before. And yeah, it was one Christmas. Oh yeah, before I go on about this, basically, because I'm South American, we celebrate our Christmas on Christmas Eve. That's when we actually open up our Christmas presents, you know. We stay up late Christmas Eve, and that's when we do it. So it was Christmas Eve when I opened up my Christmas presents. And, you know, I stayed up, I could see my presents. I knew there was something exciting and amazing because it was a pretty large box. And yeah, so I went down to the Christmas tree, began to unravel my presents. My parents were standing by there looking at me. I've got to remember, guys, I was a bit of a spoiled kid, really, because I'm the youngest one out of seven, so I was spoiled rotten big time. I always got pretty much what I wanted, but I wasn't prepared for this because I hadn't really asked for it. And I actually got it. As I unraveled it, it was a Sega Master System. And I couldn't believe the look on my face. Well, I should say, my parents couldn't believe the look on my face because I was absolutely over the moon. It was a great present. The Sega Master System was a really amazing, you know, little console. It was a beautiful little machine. It had like a red strip, what I remember it. It had like a pause button, a reset button, the power button on the front of it. And it came with a light gun and two joypads. Now, one of the things I loved about this game was it came with two free games. Well, technically three. The first game it came with was Hang On. And the second game was a Safari Hunt, which was a light gun game. And the hidden game was, it was a little maze game. And I think the way you activated that was you pushed up on the control pad and pressed both buttons at the same time. And if you did that correctly, a little maze game would appear. Now, guys, I've got to admit, like I said, I was over the moon and my parents were just so happy for me because, you know, I hadn't even asked, but they knew I wanted this because they had seen like me going around to my nephew's house and playing on his Sega Master System, and they knew that it was probably something I wanted to, you know, I wanted to have. But I love my ZX Spectrum so much, but to be honest with you guys, I think it was slowly, I don't know, being neglected, because it wasn't as groundbreaking as it was, really. Certain games in the arcades, the arcade conversions weren't as good. It started to look a little bit old, in fact. And no disrespect to the gaming programmers, because I was a kid then, but I could see that the ZX Spectrum just wasn't able to handle some of these graphics in certain games. Games that I really enjoyed, like Golden Axe, you know. This ZX Spectrum version, it's not the greatest, you know, I can appreciate what the programmers did, and I did enjoy it on the ZX Spectrum. But what I loved about the Sega Master System was it was a great machine, and unlike the ZX Spectrum, you didn't have to sort of like wait forever for the games to load. The games were instant, you know. Like I said, without actually having carts, you had three games built in there. And Hang On is like a little scaled down version of Super Hang On. And it's a great little game, it's a good little racer. I played that for absolutely ages. I'm still not very good at it, but you know, it certainly, you know, killed a few hours. And the next game that I played was Safari Hunt. And I think it's only about three or four screens. And yeah, it worked. There wasn't a load of selection of, light gun games on the Sega Master System. And although this was probably one of the first ones, probably one of my favourites, you know, because it's nice and easy, it's really easy to get into, and it's a game that you can sort of play with a family. It's just really, you've got to shoot these creatures. It's like the Sega Master System version of Duck Hunts. I wouldn't say it's quite as good, it hasn't got that charm, but I really enjoyed it nevertheless. But yeah, like I was saying, the Master System was a great, you know, machine, because it had all these classic arcade conversions, and they were absolutely amazing. And I didn't actually get any of these arcade conversions for my Christmas present, but I did get a few sort of like smaller presents, which my parents gave to me as well, because I was like, yay! And I opened up, and the first game I got was The Ninja. Now, I believe this was an arcade conversion. I don't know who actually made... I think it was Sega, actually. I think it's Ninja Princess or something on the Nintendo. It's a great little game, actually. Still to this day, it's one of my favourite games. It's really simple, basic, but I think it works in its charm. You play a little ninja, you've got to go from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen. You can shoot left, or you can shoot up, and... your ninja, if you press both buttons at the same time, it disappears. And it's a great game. I just love the overall visual look, the music, the variation in levels, actually. I've been playing the arcade game and the NES version as well recently, and it doesn't compare. To me, the definitive version will always be the Sega Master System version. It's a beautiful game. Now, the next game that I unwrapped for Christmas that year was Kung Fu Kid. And I loved Kung Fu Kid. It's still one of my favorite games ever. The only way I can describe it, it's a platform, scrolling, beat-em-up. It's similar to Jackie Chan on the on the PC Engine and on the NES. But it's really easy to get into. The music is so damn catchy in this game. I'm trying to think of one of the other games I got for it. I really can't remember, but yeah. Those were some of the games that I really, really enjoyed playing, and it was one of the best Christmas presents I'd had. It was just like having like a little mini arcade machine in my house, basically. After I got the Sega Master System, the ZX Spectrum really didn't sort of get much time, unfortunately, because I love playing all the arcade conversions of certain games that I got eventually. Games like OutRun, Space Harrier, Golden Axe, Double Dragon, Shinobi, Rampage, and at the time, for me, they were pretty much spot on to the arcade. You know, the ZX Spectrum versions really paled in comparison, mostly to the fact of lack of colour, and it just looked a little bit blockier. Don't get me wrong, the Spectrum had some great arcade conversions like Bubble Bubble, Chase HQ, which is better than the Sega Master System version, but I'll always remember a little bit about that special Christmas, because it's one of my favourite consoles that I've actually ever owned, and a few years ago I got rid of it. I feel a bit silly for getting rid of it, but I will get myself another one at some point. So yeah, that's my little story about a certain Christmas from back in the day. One of my favourite machines ever, the Sega Master System. I'll wrap it up a little bit, guys. Before I go, though, I want to quickly say that the next episode of the podcast that I will be on will probably be my last one for the whole of January. I'm going to be a dad again soon, basically. And I'm not really going to have the time to be on the podcast, because I want to spend time with my wife. I want to spend time with my new baby. And, you know, I've got two kids as well already, so I need to see them as well. So I've got to do the proper adult thing and spend time with my family. But fear not, you know, all the guys will sort of like continue to do the podcast, and I have the most absolute faith in all of them that they're going to produce some of the greatest shows ever. Please, guys, you know, follow us on Twitter, which is RetroAsylum1. Each of the guys got their own Twitter handle as well. I'm sure if you message them on the forum, they'll let you know exactly what it is. But most of all, guys, please leave us an iTunes review, because it really does actually help us produce these more. It gives us that little bit of motivation. It's that little bit of pick-me-up sometimes. Whenever we struggle to do these shows, whenever we think, wow, you know, can we do any better? And we get some nice messages from you guys. It really makes us think, you know what, let's do another show. Let's try and do a better one. Let's try different things. Let's try and get more guests. And I tell you what, guys, we have got some amazing guests lined for 2013. We really do. before I round this up, you know, I want to quickly say thank you to everyone actually for supporting the Retro Asylum podcast. It's bigger than I actually ever thought it was. I was listening to some of the older podcasts, and I'm sure at the beginning I said that I was hoping to have 20 iTunes review before 2013, and we've got 63, you know. I'd say 62 of them have been really positive, and one a little bit negative, but you know what? We can't please everyone, you know. I've got to say, you know, what I've always envisioned the podcast being is, it's like two friends in a pub reminiscing about their passion for retro games, a bit of nostalgia. We don't always have the retro gaming facts or whatever because we produce these weekly, and we, you know, we have real lives, you know, we've got family, wives, girlfriends, and it's hard to find the time, but we really enjoy doing it, and I love doing this podcast. You know, it really sort of helped me just want to get into retro gaming even more. And I tell you what, I've really enjoyed talking to you guys in the forum. And yeah, that's me rambling on. It's my retro gaming Christmas memories. And guys, enjoy the rest of the show. I mean, I've already listened to what everyone else has had to say, and it's amazing the memories that these guys talk about. And yeah, have a lovely Christmas, guys. And we'll see you, well, I'll see you in the next episode, which is the New Year's Eve episode. Alright, enjoy. Goodbye. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I bought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Hello everybody, this is Glenn Atkinson from Retro Asylum Podcast, and this is my Christmas speech. Wow, feel like the Queen now doing a Christmas speech. And I'm looking back on the Christmas of the past, with all the great games and all the great stuff I got for Christmas. My first experience of gaming at Christmas is when I was only about 3 years old. My mum got recommended by one of her friends that to get me a computer, because one day computers would take over the earth. And that man was right too, because in today's world, technology has taken over the world. Look at the internet. Look how the world's revolved around technology and computers. It's completely changed the world as we know it. Now, to a lot of people who are on the Retro Asylum forum, 1986 would have been a late adopter to computer games, because computer games were around way before then. But remember, I was only about 3 years old, so technically I was an early adopter. But I bet like Andy and Swain and the rest of the people on the Retro Asylum, they were playing games like in probably the early 1980s, or even probably the very late 70s even. So what did I get for my first retro game Christmas? I remember getting up at Christmas morning, and I remember getting the sock on the side of my bed. I got all the toys out of my sock, and I remember getting this little red fire engine, and I remember playing around with it in the living room. And then in the living room there was a big box all wrapped up, and I remember tearing off all the paper and think, it's a television. Then my brother unwrapped the other present. Do you know what it was? It was a Commodore 64. Now, I didn't know what that thing was. When my mum took out the box, it looked really evil. He had evil teeth. And I looked at it and went, ooh, I don't know what that is. It looks like a nasty, evil thing that can snap at me. Now, I remember my mum loading up the first game, and it was Bubble Bobble for the Commodore 64. And this is why I love Bubble Bobble so much, because it was one of the first games I ever played. It was absolutely fantastic. And I remember my mum saying, come over here, Glenn, have a game, have a game. And I remember moving this joystick, and I went, wow, how am I doing this? I'm moving a character on the screen. And, you know, this is fun, this. Hey, this thing's pretty good. And from that day forth, I absolutely got into computer games. I found computers absolutely amazing. Never mind about toys. They had a limitation. Soon as you play around and press a few buttons, that's all it can do. But this machine, you can like buy extra stuff for it, and it had a brilliant replay value. That's what I loved about it so much. So that was my first great memory at Christmas, when I got my Commodore 64. But you know, a few years later, I remember getting like a Christmas sock on Christmas Eve, and I remember opening up the sock, and I remember there was a tape in there. Ooh, what's this? And my brother got Bouncy Heads for the Commodore 64. That was a really great game. You had this head that goes around like a maze collecting kisses, and you got to avoid these evil creatures that are jumping around the screen, and if they get you, he used to show his face crunching your head. That was a great game on the Commodore 64. I remember getting that. And I also got Jack the Nipper 2, and I still believe it was the best version. Even though Andy didn't like the Commodore 64 version, I still think it was better. Now we're going to forward a few years now to 1992. When I got up one morning for Christmas, I went down steps, and I had been asking my mum for ages. I wanted a Nintendo Game Boy. And guess what? I was not disappointed. I opened up my Christmas present. There was the Nintendo Game Boy. Now, the reason why I wanted a Nintendo Game Boy as a kid, because it was cool to have something like the Game Boy where you could take out two of the shops with your mum and dad, going around doing the boring shops, and there you could play games like Mario Land, you could play Battletoads, you could play Lemmings, great games like that. And I remember the games I got with it as well. I remember getting Tetris, the puzzle game. That was quite a good addictive game. I remember my mum really liked that game. She managed to get the rocket on that game. And I also got Nigel Mansell Racing. That was a great game on the Game Boy as well. You know, going around the track and racing everybody. And I also remember getting Lemmings. Lemmings was a great game for the original Game Boy. And I remember, like, on Christmas Eve, we used to go to York. And this is like Christmas 1993, like a year later. And I remember going to this video game shop. And I said to my mum, Mum, can you buy me a Game Boy game? And my mum goes, no. And I picked up Battletoads for the Game Boy. I said, Mum, can I have this, please? And I use what kids know best, pestering power. And I pestered my mum so much that she went, okay then, because it's Christmas Eve, we get you Battletoads. And that was a great game on the Game Boy. But it was a bit of a shame that it was a very hard game for the Game Boy. Like, I think I only could reach up to level 3 on that, because it gets really hard. They're like on a little space car, and they have to avoid blocks and barriers that came up, but it went that quick. Gosh, even a kid with quick reflexes couldn't do it. Another year after that, unfortunately, we lost the Commodore 64. Rest in peace. And then I only had the Game Boy. So before Christmas, my mum and dad and my brother, we all put money together and we got a Super Nintendo. So by Christmas 1994, I got a Super Nintendo. I remember what I got that Christmas. I got Super Mario Brothers All-Stars. Yes, Super Mario All-Stars. That was great. That was like, that was like four games put into one. That was absolutely fantastic. I remember getting up Christmas morning, coming down steps. I remember opening it up, and I remember being asking Mum for this Mario All-Stars, because I said, Mum, what's so good about it is you get four games instead of one. And my mum thinks, well, it's worth just spending £35 on one game that has four games on it, rather than £35 with one game on it. So I managed to twist her arm and got me Super Mario Bros. All-Stars. But the year after that, though, it was 1995. And the Sega Saturn and Sony PlayStation started to become on the scene. Brand new next-generation consoles, 32-bit, pure, good, 3D graphics that by today's standards looks pretty poor, but I tell you then, it looked absolutely amazing. And I remember looking at the game magazines and I was drooling. I wanted a Sega Saturn. Now, the reason why I didn't want a Sony PlayStation, because remember, by then, Sega was known for making games, and Sony was, well, a company that made CDs and Walkman, so why would I want a games console that was made by them? So I said to my mum, Mum, can I have a Sega Saturn for Christmas? And she went, we'll see. And then my brother came up to me and said, look what your mum and dad's got you for Christmas. He showed me the receipt. A Sega Saturn, it said. And I was so excited for it. And guess what I got on Christmas Day? I got a Sega Saturn magazine. A Sega Saturn magazine. I never had such disappointment in all my life. I went, no. So I had another year playing the Super Nintendo. It was a great games console, but I was missing out on some really great games that were coming out on the Saturn and PlayStation around that time. But my mum and dad did one of the great things at Christmas 1996. They decided that a games console was not educational. So they decided to buy me and my brother a personal computer. Now, what's really good about personal computers is you can buy 3D games for them. And most of the stuff that was released on the Saturn and PlayStation, like Destruction Derby and Wipeout and stuff, had a PC release as well. So I went, yeah, Mum, yeah, get us a personal computer. So she could have easily bought, like, me a games console for £300, but she spent £1,200 on a personal computer, just because it could possibly educate me a bit more. Not really logical, but hey, it got me a nice 3D game system. So years on after that, I always got like PC upgrades and 3D effects chips upgrades and PC games, so that's more or less brought us up to the current day. So what I'll be getting for Christmas 2012? Well, I'd gone back in time, I always wanted the latest system. But what I'm getting this Christmas, for retro gaming wise, is I'm going to get Bubsy the Bobcat for the Super Nintendo. And I know about that because I've seen it in my brother's parcel. I shouldn't know about that. Shh. And I'm also getting an SD card reader for the Commodore 64. And my girlfriend says, look what Glenn wants, a blue box. But that blue box will do all sorts of magical things, Jackie. I could put lots of Commodore 64 games on that and I can play it to my heart's content. So looking back now, I always wanted the latest thing. But today, I want the old stuff now. Strange how things change, hey? And this is like my Christmas speech for 2012. Hope you enjoy it, everybody. I'd like to say thank you to the Retro Asylum team for giving me this platform to say what I feel. And I'd like to thank Andy. I'd like to thank Swainy. I'd like to thank everybody. So have a nice Christmas, everybody. And remember, keep retro gaming.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one. Came in 18-1. I've got.
Smell that? That is Christmas. Christmas is with us once again, and it has an atmosphere, a feeling, and a smell all of its own. The chocolates are under the tree, the presents are going to be under the tree, the food's going to be on the table. It has an atmosphere all of its own you cannot get any other time of the year. I'm going to argue to you that retro gamers put more value on Christmas than any other group of people on this planet. And that's a sweeping statement. That is a sweeping statement right there. But we as retro gamers, and I don't mean that elitist in any way, shape or form, but we put a lot of value and have a lot of nostalgia around Christmas. So, let's dig into this statement of mine a little bit further. As retro gamers, people who enjoyed games in the past, who had consoles and computers from yesteryear, what did we put on our Christmas list? What was it that we did at Christmas every single year? We wanted games, we wanted consoles, we wanted computers. You know, you'd ask your mum and dad for a Spectrum or Commodore 64, hopefully Commodore 64, because it's obviously better than a Spectrum, but only joking. But this is what we put on our list, and Amigas and Mega Drive, SNESes, etc., etc., right up to, you know, when, I don't know, the turn of retro into more current gen. We would put stuff like that on our list, and also games, and we'd get a game with a particular console. Take the Game Boy. Killer app, Tetris, it sold millions of Game Boys just having that game alone. And it's having those games that you'd put on your Christmas list or the consoles that you get at the time. It's those games and that that will take you back to a particular Christmas. Don't know, let's take a look. 1991, I got my first Amiga. I think the game that reminds me of Christmas that year is Alien Breed. The first Alien Breed by Team 17. Because that's the game I played first on that computer, pretty much. Moving onwards, I've said it before, Cannon Fodder. I got it in, I think again, it was 1993. So the 93 Christmas was all about Cannon Fodder. I was actually injured at the time from probably one of the few times I've played football in my life. I got a broken leg. I was on crutches. So I couldn't do much else. But then again, I didn't have any friends really at the time anyway. So I wasn't going to do much else. But Christmas, I never ever saw other people. It was about me, the computer, the family. And I had Cannon Fodder. And that's what I played. And that's what reminds me of that Christmas and many, many Christmases since, because I always drag out Cannon Fodder at Christmas because I just love that game. But us as retro gamers, we value games and the experiences and the nostalgia they give us much, much more than, say, modern gamers. You know, modern gamers, right, what do they have? They have PS3, 360, iPad, iPhone, Android device, whatever. All they have is games that are sequel after sequel. FIFA 12, FIFA 13, Call of Duty 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever number they're on now. And while they're good games, yes, they don't have any kind of feel or value attached to them, because you're not going to get a game of nowadays, oh, I remember Call of Duty 2, and that takes me back to 2008 Christmas, because it's been superseded with something better and more relevant, and it's been superseded again with something better and more relevant, and then again. I don't know how many Call of Duty's there are, I'm using that as an example. FIFA, it's going back, this feels like centuries, but it's a decade and a half of FIFA games that have just been iteration after iteration, sequel after sequel. And people just move on, it's disposable. And that's the same with mobile gaming. Mobile gaming has a lot more in common with retro gaming than the bigger platforms have with their big, massive, multi-million pound budget games. Because mobile gaming is pick up and play, but because they're only 69p or even less than that free, they're throwaway. So, you know, someone won't be playing a game for very long because they'll just download another one and start playing that. So there's no value attached to it. Just same with music as well. Music is very throwaway in this environment and this world we live in now. Who goes out and buys CDs anymore? Not many people. I do. I try to. Who goes out and buys a record anymore? Not many people. I try to, but haven't been a DJ in the form of my life. I love vinyl. But, you know, the youth of now and the generation of people now who are playing games, and it's not just youth, there's probably more around 25 to 35 aged gamers than there ever has been in the history of the gaming industry, just throw stuff away now. Like I say, music, games, mobile gaming and that. And it's not got the passion around it that we had when we were gaming in the 80s and 90s, where we would get a game and we'd play it to death. And don't get me wrong, people obviously do that now because that's how people get so good at these games. But they don't value it like we did. They don't appreciate that tangible product. People would be happy downloading games from you know, like an app store type place and never holding and touching anything. And I think in terms of the iPhone and Android device, that's not too bad because they're designed for a downloadable environment and they're designed to be very throwaway. The applications are throwaway. But when you've got the PS3 and 360, They're still based around tangible products, but people would be still be happy just downloading things. But we valued that tangible thing, the disc you'd put in a drive or the cartridge you'd put in a slot. So I think us retro gamers, we have a lot more passion and nostalgia around Christmas than a lot of other groups of people, because we will always have a game or a console or something like that that will remind us of a particular Christmas gone by. And I think that's very nice to have. I'm very happy that I've been a part of that culture, and I will continue to try and relive those feelings as much as possible each and every year. I might be doing it in vain. Like I said in the last podcast, I might be doing this all in vain. I'm just trying to do this to get that feeling back of being a kid. Of course I am, but it's a nice thing to do, and I hope that if I ever have a kid or two, that I will try and bring that child up to be very, very similar to me in that respect. One thing that's a little bit weird is at Christmas you might want to play some Christmassy kind of games, and you know what, there isn't that many available. I thought I'd do a little bit of research into this just to find out what really was out there Christmassy that you could play around this time, and I'm surprised that there's not been more Christmas games released over the years. Maybe there's a big marketing opportunity there, or maybe just because the window of opportunity for Christmas is so small, no one's ever really wanted to do it. So where can you look for your Christmas kicks in games? So Nintendo seems a good place to get your Christmas kicks. Donkey Kong Country 3 has a cheat, or should we say Easter eggs these days, where you can enter the code Merry, and all the bonus levels in the games turn into little mini festive parties. So I think that's one to drag out on emulation this Christmas. So that's Donkey Kong Country 3. Again, Banjo-Kazooie from Nintendo, well, it's actually by Rare. That has a stage in it which has a lot of Christmassy kind of vibe to it, and it's based on the top of a snow-capped mountain. There's a couple of games for you to check out there. On the Amiga, you had Holiday Lemmings, or Christmas Lemmings as it was known. It took the standard Lemmings game engine, which, if you've never played Lemmings before, get yourself on YouTube and have a look at it. If you're into puzzly kind of games that frustrate the hell out of you, that is a great game to go for. It is a really good game. It just doesn't, it plays in my mind a little bit too much. I'm not into that kind of thing, but it is a really great game. Holiday Lemmings kicks up the Christmas spirit with Christmassy tunes, Christmassy graphics, and all your Lemmings have got little Santa's outfits on. So that's a great one to check out for. Also, there was some cover disc editions of games such as ATR, All-Terrain Racing on the Amiga. All-Terrain Racing is a game, an overhead racing game, which we covered on the Totten Amiga Driving Games not so long back. Fire and Ice on the Amiga as well also had a special Christmas edition. So there's just a few to name there. If you think of James Pond 2, Robocod, which was released across many platforms, that had a lot of snow in it on the sort of level selector level section to that game. So that could be deemed a little bit Christmassy. One strange one that I remember, not fondly, certainly not fondly, was a game called Time Tunnel. So Zap64 was going to give away Catechist on their cover one Christmas. I can't remember what it was. It was looking around mid to late 80s, maybe late 80s. Catechist was a game that was very, very similar to R-Type, so similar that I think a legal battle ensued and it was pulled. The Catechist was by Factor 5, who ironically went on to do one of the official releases of R-Type on the home computers. But Catechist was deemed a bit too similar. Catechist then eventually turned into Denaris, which is a great shoot-em-up on the Commodore 64, and also where I get my alias from, of course. But anyway, back to the point of the story. Zap was going to give away Catechist. It got pulled last minute. So this game called Time Tunnel was shoved in there. And it was a very strange Santa-based game, which you didn't get any instructions for with the magazine, because from what I can remember, the magazine still mentioned Catechist all over it, but like I say, it was pulled at the last minute, and I don't think there's any time to put anything about Time Tunnel in there, maybe a small little addendum or appendix into the magazine. And it was, I hated the game. It got a very low rating in Zap itself, ironically, when they gave it away. It was just a Santa running around, and you had no clue of what to do on it. And he could shoot out a little lightning bolt. It was just awful, a very strange game. But maybe if I went back on it now, it could be quite charming, but I'm not too sure about that. Other than that, you're looking at winter games, Winter Games, which is the Winter Olympics games. way back in the mid 80s, which you can get on the Virtual Console and Wii. So, and one of the final games which I happened across was Knight's Christmas for the Saturn. So Knight was a game on the Saturn, deemed one of its killer apps at the time, and there was a Christmas version released, which seemingly was released through a lot of magazines. It was, had a lovely little Easter egg in it, by the looks of it, that it wouldn't be Christmas unless you were playing it in December, and the clock on your Saturn, or the clock within the game, was based around December. If you played in November, it was winter. If you played outside of the winter, it was just a normal night's sort of game. So that's really quite nice, and it's got some really neat little touches in there. Never played Knight, so I can't really say too much about it, but from what I've seen on YouTube, it does look quite good. So I think that's one, another one to check out on emulation, certainly, because it's probably very hard to get hold of, certainly the original disc on the Saturn. Other than that, you're really looking at wintry-based theme games. Batman Returns on the SNES had a sort of a festive period as the background, but there's not really a lot out there. So it'd be interesting to hear your views on this. Did you play any Christmassy-type games? Don't know, but I think this is going to be one I'll check out over the festive period. But that's it from me. This has been Matt Dinaris. I wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I'll be back on a podcast in the near future.
Retro Asylum, and I'm Retro Darren, and I've been asked to reminisce about a few retro game related Christmases from the past, so here goes. I've had some memorable and less memorable retro gaming Christmases over the years. The first one I really remember getting excited about would have been about 1982, when I had my Atari 2600. I think I had Combat and Defender and maybe Space Invaders at the time. I'd got the Atari 2600 earlier in the year off my mate's brother, who was selling it on the cheap. So Christmas would have been probably the only chance I would have got to get some more games, as the games were about £40 each, and this is 1982 we're talking about, which is £40 is quite a lot for a game now, let alone in 1982. So Christmas morning, I remember opening up presents under the tree, and I had Berserk for the 2600, obviously, and E.T. And there was another game, it might have been Pac-Man, I can't remember. But I pretty much remember playing Berserk and E.T. and the other game, whatever that was, all day. And I mean all day. I had to be torn away from the TV, or kicked off of the TV, because your parents probably wanted to watch something on telly. But 1983, the next year, was very memorable for different reasons. It wasn't the best retro gaming Christmas ever, I think it's fair to say. At the time, earlier in the year, I acquired a Spectrum. I sold my 2600 to sort of raise a few funds for this. So, I didn't have many games. I had a few copied games. I had that a mate at school did me. But in general, I probably had maybe 10 games for it, which is not a lot of games for a Spectrum, considering how many games were available. Again, Christmas was the time when I had a Christmas list, and I pretty much told everyone who was going to buy me presents, buy stuff for my Spectrum, buy stuff for my Spectrum, buy stuff for my Spectrum. No, I want Spectrum. I noticed a few things appearing under the tree in December. Cassette game shaped presents and slightly bigger boxes. Eventually curiosity got the better of me, as it does when you're a young kid, and I thought I'd do the old trick where you rip the paper a little bit just to see if you can see anything on the box. Well, with the cassette, I managed to rip the paper a little bit, and I could see it was a flight simulation game. I could see the sign for Sinclair Research, and I could see like a picture of a cockpit. I knew it was flight simulator game I'd sort of asked for. So I was quite happy with that. I look forward to Christmas morning playing that and loading that up. Again, I tried to pull back the paper of another box that was there, and I wasn't quite sure what it was, but I could see the Sinclair logo again, so I knew it was something from my Spectrum, so I was more than happy with that. So Christmas morning came, ripping the paper up in a frenzy. First thing I opened was the turned out to be a printer for the ZX Spectrum, you know, the old little printer with the thermal paper. I thought, that's pretty good, I can make my own cassette labels up and things, I mean, and just have some fun with a printer. It's the first printer I ever had. Quite an impressive little bit of kit, really. Second thing I opened was Sinclair Interface 2. Now, you may or may not know, in 1983, the original first edition Spectrums didn't have a joystick port of any description at all, so you needed to have an interface for it. Well, Interface 2 had just come out, and it had two joystick ports on it and a cartridge slot where you could plug in ROM cartridges. So immediately I was thinking, well, I can play games with a joystick now, and maybe I'll get a ROM cartridge. So I started opening up all the rest of the presents, and there was no joystick, so that was useless, and no ROM cartridge, so that was useless as well. So there was a bit of a kit I couldn't use, but still, you know, look on the bright side, I've got an interface too. I'll get a joystick when the shop's open again. And by the way, back in those days, Christmas, when Christmas came around, the shop shut down for a whole week. I thought, okay, I'll get me joystick after, you know, in a week's time. I'll just persevere with keys. So then I opened the cassette game, and it was Flight Simulation, so without really looking at it properly, I put it in the cassette player, tried to load it up. Didn't load up at all, so I tried the other side of the cassette, that didn't load up. Trying to wonder to myself what was wrong, what I was doing wrong, so I was changing the leads around and changing the volume on the cassette recorder, pulling leads in and out, trying to work out what was wrong. Did a bit of a stupid thing at this point. I pulled the power lead out of the Spectrum, thinking, have I plugged it in wrong, or the power lead faulty or something like that, and while I'm pondering what could be possibly wrong, I did that thing that you do when you're trying to work out a puzzle. Maybe you get a pencil and you sort of tap it on your teeth, or sort of suck the end of the pencil and think, what's wrong here. I went and done that with the power lead for the Spectrum, nearly blew my head off, so that wasn't very good. I wouldn't recommend anyone doing that, especially when it's plugged in. Almost electrocuted myself. So once I picked myself up and dusted myself down, I had a look in the cassette, and it slowly dawned on me that this was Flight Simulation alright, and it was for the ZX81, which was no good for me. So just to recap, I couldn't use pretty much any more presents apart from the printer. So I've got the printer out, and I'm starting to print up little bits and pieces, screenshots, and trying to make my own little cassette labels. And then it came to the time where my mum came in and said, come, you pack all that away now, we want the TV. So alright, I suppose, you know, no problem. I was only printing stuff up, so I just turned everything off, left it on the floor in the front room. Then my dad got home from the pub and stepped on the printer and broke it. Yeah, you can imagine, it wasn't the best, and on top of everything else, I've got to have a go out for leaving my printer out for it to be broken. So let's just recap. About 1983, I had a game that I couldn't play, an interface I couldn't use, and a printer that was broken, and on top of that, I've got to have a go out by my mum and dad. Not great, but memorable. The year after that, a couple of years after that, would have been obviously Christmas 1985, which was a much, much better year for retro gaming for me, because I had my Commodore 64 at the time, and I had a few games for it. Again, Christmas is a time when as a child or a teenager as I was then, I didn't really have the opportunity to get many games apart from copies and things because of money, you know. I didn't have a job, I was at school still. So, I had a few things on my Christmas list, as usual. One of them was a compilation, which had sort of recently come out, which was Soft Aid. And pretty good compilation, actually. It was tied in heavily with the Band-Aid thing that was going around and the Live Aid and all that sort of thing. And this was just the software equivalent of it. So I opened that up on Christmas morning, and it just, so you know, it had the games Gumshoe on it, Beam Rider, Star Trader, Cockatony Wilf, China Miner, Gilligan's Gold, Fred, Gyropod, the excellent Falcon Patrol. If you've not played Falcon Patrol, you should. Brilliant Defender clone. And a game called Flak. Now, that was great. So I was, at this time as well, I had my own portable TV in my room. So that was good. Quite happily playing these games all morning. My mum brought me on a bacon sandwich. Everything was going great. Then the phone goes. It's a mate of mine from about five or six doors down. And he's phoned up to say, well, he's got a Commodore 64 for Christmas. So I thought, brilliant. He said, pop down and have a look at it. So I went down there and helped him set it up. Also noticed that he had a few games as well. He had a compilation called Select One, which is something else that I wanted, but I didn't get that Christmas. And on that, this was a great compilation for Christmas 1985. It had Hunchback by Ocean, brilliant game. Galaxy, which was a clone of Galaga by Anirog, that was brilliant. Com, which was probably the best Donkey Kong clone at the time, you know, pretty okay, perfect, really good. Hexbert, which was a Cuba clone. Mr. Wimpy, which was like a Burger Time clone. So that was just side one. You had almost a complete arcade on side one, brilliant. You had a game called Ring of Power by Quicksilver, I think it was some sort of adventure, didn't really play that, but on the other side, you had Scramble by Interceptor, which was pretty good as it got back then for a Scramble clone for the Commodore 64. You had Moon Buggy, which was, you know, the clone of Moon Patrol. And you had a few more games thrown in, but, I mean, those were the main sort of games that I was after, you know, because what you want to do when you get your computer when you're younger, you want to get an arcade in your room, don't you? You know, so these were the best sort of arcade ports at the time. I was a little bit jealous, if the truth be known, because these compilations were slightly better than mine, and these were games that I wanted more than the ones I had, but no worries, you know. Then his sister walked in and said, look what I've got for Christmas. And this is what made Christmas even better. She got a new stereo with a twin cassette tape, so you could do tape to tape. So I rushed home, tried to find a blank tape. We're sitting there playing Scramble while his sister's in the other room copying me this compilation, and of course I let him copy my compilation. A good time was up well. So, you know, from that Christmas I pretty much had over 20 new games to play, and it was just a really good Christmas in general. And that's it really. Like I say, I've had some ups and downs over Christmas in the past years, but they were the two memorable ones. I've been Retro Darren. Thanks for listening, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Give it. Hi everyone, this is Dean Swain from the Retro Asylum podcast. I'd like to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. So we're talking about video game memories from Christmas past. My first gaming memory at around Christmas time was probably being given Galaxy Invader from my mum and dad. Galaxy Invader was a little handheld game which was a Space Invaders clone. It came in beige and brown casing, the plastic casing is beige and brown. There was another model that was yellow and black, I believe. But yeah, I had the beige and brown version. It wasn't exactly the best looking game in the world as far as the casing went, but the actual graphics, you know, it was a standard Space Invaders clone, and they'd done their job. It was a black screen with green graphics, very distinctive sound. It was a great game, and I remember being told off whilst the family were watching TV on Christmas night, and there I was, you know, firing away, playing this game. It was making lots of noise. You could turn the sound off, but hey, I wanted to hear the sound. It was my Christmas present. So, yeah, I remember getting told off for playing that a bit too much. It also ate the batteries quite a bit. I think in the end we did buy an adapter that you could get back in those days from Argos. Another game memory from a Christmas was probably the year after, when I was given a Game & Watch, and it was the pinball game. These were like little dual screen handheld games by Nintendo, and there's an LCD display on these, and I remember my dad being quite disappointed that the graphics didn't actually light up like the Galaxy Invader that I'd received the year before. But even so, I found it a very, very playable game, and I remember using the clock function on that to use the alarm to get myself up from school. Yeah, I've still got that, that's still boxed, I've kept that. That's, you know, the one thing from the early 80s that I did keep hold of, and very proud to have it. It's a great game. The next thing I remember getting, which was, it must have been Christmas 1984, it was an Atari 2600. It was the Darth Vader looking model, an entirely black one. This was a hand-me-down from my cousin. My mum and dad had done a deal with my aunt, and yeah, it came with a lot of games, which was a good job, because the Atari 2600 games, they were very expensive. Although there had been a video games crash in the States, here in the UK, I guess they were still selling, and you know, you could probably pay up to about £40 for a game back then. So I didn't buy too many games for it, but you know, as a Christmas present, when you're a kid, I was about 9 years old at that time, it must have come with about 20 games at least, and you know, that kept me occupied for a good year. That wasn't just over the Christmas period. I was a busy kid playing on that, you know, night after night, every weekend, until I pestered my mum and dad into buying me a Spectrum. And I'd done that because although the Atari was great, the Spectrum was now becoming very popular, and all the kids at school had one. So I kept pestering them and pestering them, and a couple of years went by, and you know, I didn't get one until Christmas 1987, and it was the Plus 2 model that was out at that time when Amstrad had taken over. I really wanted one, and I remember I bought Crash magazine, I think it was the January issue of 1988, it was actually published in December of 87, and it had it was a Pac-Land cover on the front, although Pac-Land wasn't actually reviewed in the issue. In fact, Pac-Land wouldn't come out on the Spectrum until March 1989, but I remember buying this magazine in December, hoping that I would be getting a ZX Spectrum, and I think the magazine probably cost about $1.95 back then, and it was like a catalogue. It was huge. There were so many pages in it. And I remember looking at some of the games that were reviewed in that issue. I remember Combat School, Match Day 2, Rygar, Star Wars, and these were all games that, you know, they were never going to be released on the Atari 2600, but I think Star Wars might have been. But the others, you know, there was just no chance. So, yeah, my mum and dad did actually get me the ZX Spectrum Plus 2, luckily, and they bought it from Dixon's, and it was the it was an exclusive pack. I think it was called the Super Deal Bundle. I remember it came with a Cheetah 125 Plus joystick, and it came with so many games. It was unbelievable. You know, it's not like when you buy a console these days and it might come with two or three games. This came with Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, Mikey, Ping Pong, Hyperstalks, ER Kung Fu, Green Beret, and a load of Sinclair branded games as well. Like Mummy and a load of other crap games that I never played, but a lot of the Ocean stuff or Imagine Software, although it's the same company, you know, that kept me going for months. And another game that I had requested, if they had bought me the machine, was Renegade, because I played it at a friend's house because it had been released a few months before Christmas. And I tried loading it up, and it didn't work. It would load up in 48K mode, but it was a 128K machine. I knew that it could load up a 128K version because that's what my friend had, and it would not work. So after Christmas, I've got my mum to send it back for me, and Ocean Software returned it saying, you know, this is a new version. I loaded it up and the same thing happened again. So I thought, that's a bit strange. I must just be unlucky. So we've sent it back, they've sent us a new version yet again, loaded it up, and it's done exactly the same thing. It'd crash as soon as you press start on the title screen. So it turned out that it was actually my Spectrum. It wasn't working properly in 128K mode. So we had to take it back to Dixon's, and they didn't have any. I remember I had to wait for about a month before I got a new Spectrum, and they just swapped over the actual computer itself. I got to keep all my games, and as a thank you for sticking with them throughout the delay, they gave me a little Mario Brothers Game & Watch. You know, it wasn't a Spectrum game, but it made me happy, and again, that was a great little game. But yeah, I managed to get the working ZX Spectrum, and thankfully the copy of Renegade that I did have worked, and that is where my obsession came with Double Dragon and, you know, these scrolling beat-em-ups. Renegade was the first. It's one of the best out there, and yeah, that's a Christmas memory for me. Other Christmases, I remember it was the year after RoboCop. I had a demo of that came with Crash Magazine. I think that came out in November. So that was a game that I wanted for Christmas, and I pestered my parents for it. Sure enough, it came through, and there was a couple of differences compared to the demo, but the full game, oh my god. The Spectrum version had speech. It wasn't exactly the same as the arcade version. You know, the programmers had gone off in their own direction. My god, what a great game and a good showcase of the ZX Spectrum that was. And it was, you know, back then, a lot of people thought that the ZX Spectrum had its day. You know, a lot of people had probably moved on to the Atari ST and the Amiga by then. But it was still big games coming out at Christmas. Stuff like RoboCop, Operation Wolf, US Gold were always releasing quite big games, although the majority of their games were rubbish. And, you know, if you look at 1989, you had Chase HQ come out at Christmas. Again, these, every Christmas seemed to have like a, you know, a good, decent release of a big arcade game. Sadly, this isn't something we really see these days. And just looking over the years, while I owned the ZX Spectrum, unfortunately, you do start to see a decline. By 1991, Ocean, who were, you know, they were a huge publisher for ZX Spectrum games. They had always programmed their own stuff, more or less. They used a few out-of-house coders, but all their big Christmas hits were always programmed by them and their in-house teams. But stuff like Smash TV and Chase HQ 2 were sourced out to outside programmers, and these games, unfortunately, they just didn't have the same appeal, and they were poorly programmed compared to the stuff that had come before. Your RoboCop by Mike Lamb, that was a great game, really nicely programmed, and yet they started releasing stuff like Chase HQ 2, which compared to the original was just awful. It really was, and you couldn't help but think now is the time to move on. So I think around 1991 was probably the last year for the ZX Spectrum Christmas-wise. I honestly felt now, this time next year, I probably will own an Amiga. And that was the machine that I moved on to, but that wasn't a Christmas present. And, looking over the years, it's hard to remember any other main Christmas releases apart from one. And we're going to jump quite a way ahead now to 1999. And it's the last game I probably spent playing over Christmas. I was still living at home with my parents, and that was Shenmue on the Dreamcast. That game, I actually bought the American version. I imported it. And I remember playing that over the Christmas period, non-stop, and I completed the game. And that probably is one of the last games I actually completed 100%. As you grow up, you're doing other stuff. Your games are not your main focus. But I spent a lot of time on that. And, nowadays I'm a parent, I've got two kids. Obviously, working on the show, I have got back into retro gaming big time, but it's hard to get that feeling of what I had back then. And Shenmue was, like I say, probably the last game I ever really put 100% of my time into and actually got 100% back out of the game. So that's pretty much it. That's my Christmas memories. So I'm going to leave you with a little tune. It uses a remix version of RoboCop from the Spectrum 1 to 8K. Okay, guys, have a great Christmas, and here's to the new year.
I won't have you. past is nostalgic, 'cause we make it our home. You can play on the sands where no one ever slips away. Away with the present confusing and the future unknown. The past comes a calling, it won't leave you alone, and you live it again when she slips away, away. It will never come again with the present confusion. It will never come again with the future unknown. You can play with us, you can make it your own. Our time will never come again. No one slips away. I won't have you. We'll never come again. We'll never come again. You can find.